complete in thee. No work of mine could take, dear Lord, the place of thine. Thy blood hath pardoned, bought for me, and I shall stand complete in thee. Yea, justified, oh blessed thought, and sanctified, salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardoned, bought for me, and glorified I too shall be. Complete in thee, each one supplied, and no good thing to me denied. Since thou my portion, Lord, will be, I ask no more, complete in thee. Complete in thee, no more shall sin. Thy grace has conquered, reign within. Thy blood shall bid the tempter flee, and I shall stand complete in thee. Yea, justified, oh blessed thought, and sanctified, salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardoned, bought for me, and glorified I too shall be. Dear Savior, when before thy bar all tribes and tongues assembled are, among the chosen I shall be. I at thy right hand, complete in thee. Oh, justified, oh blessed thought, and sanctified, salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardoned, bought for me, and glorified I too shall be. Costly clothes, just a robe that was torn. He never gave me no diamonds or gold, but the story of his love is the greatest ever told. He loved me to death until the end, when he prayed, Father, forgive them. It's a love that's not measured by height or depth, 'cause even when I didn't love him, he loved me death. How could he ever love someone like me? was undeserving as I could be. Don't deserve His mercy, and I don't deserve His touch. But on the cross, with arms wide open, He said, I love you this much. He loved me to death until the end. When He prayed, Father, forgive them. It's a love that's not measured by height or depth. 'Cause even when I didn't love Him, He loved me to death. It's a love that's not measured by height or depth. 'Cause even when I didn't love Him, He loved me to death. He loved me to death.
Praise the Lord. Well, thank the Lord for those songs. Amen. All right. Well, I appreciate everyone coming out tonight. And we're going to continue our series of messages on the gospel according to. And I know I preached in Genesis last night. But we're going to go back to the book of Genesis. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 45 tonight. Genesis 45. I feel like this is where the Lord would have us be tonight. And I'm thankful for the gospel. It's still the power of God unto salvation, to every man that believeth, unto the Jew first, and also unto the Greek. And I'm thankful the gospel is still the only thing that can take a man and bring him from darkness into light. And that's why we're here tonight. It's because of the gospel. And we've been preaching on the gospel according to Sunday morning. We talked about the beauty of the Bible and the importance and the main thrust of our Bible study ought to be to find Christ throughout the Scriptures. And last night we dealt with the gospel according to creation in chapter 1 of Genesis, where God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And I'm thankful, as I said earlier, that only Jesus can bring a man from darkness into light. And I'm thankful for that. And tonight will be no different. But we'll be in Genesis 45 tonight. I gave you plenty of time to find it, so I hope you found it by now. But Genesis 45, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 25. So if you're physically able to stand tonight, if you're physically able, if you're not, you may remain seated. Let's stand. I'm sure everybody's had a tiring day. Right now, I'm full of shepherd's pie right now, so I don't know how long I'll last, but I'm just playing. I am full of shepherd's pie, but I can preach plenty. I got plenty of strength. The Philadelphia Eagles won the Super Bowl last night. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. I get it in there some way. Amen. But I'm thankful more than a Super Bowl win tonight. I'm thankful that Jesus, He won a battle a long time ago. Amen. And that battle still, that victory still winning, praise the Lord. And I'm thankful for that, all right? That's the first time some of y'all smiled since you've been in here, so amen. So, but Genesis 45, verse number 25. Hey, it's not a sin to grin, all right? A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, a broken spirit dries up the bones. So it's okay to laugh, amen. Have a good time in the house of God. Verse 25, the Bible says, And they went up out of Egypt and came in the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father, pay attention to this last word, revived. This is the first mention of revive or revival in the Word of God. And Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. You may be seated. But the word gospel literally means the good news. And as I said one of the other services, the Bible, or one commentator said one time about the gospel, he said, before I heard the gospel, I never heard any good news. But after I heard the gospel and I believed on it, I never heard any bad news. Amen. And I'm thankful for the gospel. And I'm thankful that the Bible lets us know, over in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, Paul said, I declare unto you the gospel. There is only one gospel. Over there in the book of Galatians, Paul is addressing a bunch of Judaizers. The biblical legalism is those who are adding the law to salvation. Okay, that's what a legalist is, a biblical one. And we see here that in the book of Galatians, Paul is talking to those in Galatia. And he says, if there be anyone among you who preacheth another gospel, let him be accursed. That word accursed means to be damned to hell. What are you saying? That when you mess with the gospel, that's where you're going. Amen. There is only one gospel that saves, and it's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where he said over there in 1 Corinthians 15, he said how Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins according to the Scriptures. And how he was buried. That's point number two. According to the Scriptures. Point number three is how he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. That's it. That's the gospel. That's the message. That's if anybody preaches any other gospel other than that, let them be accursed. But we see that in this text, Genesis 45, we don't see the points of the gospel. But we see a picture of the gospel. And so just for a little while tonight, I want to preach on the gospel according to Joseph. The gospel according to Joseph. Now, if you've been in church in any length of time, or maybe this is your first time in church, I don't know. If so, God bless you. But we see that Joseph is one of the number one pictures that we see in the historical accounts of the Old Testament. Okay? These are real, actual accounts. These things actually happened. And I'm thankful that as we look throughout the pages, especially here in the book of Genesis, we can see a picture of Christ in the life of Joseph. And so I just want to, just by way of introduction, just give you some points about the life of Joseph and how he, just a brief little history of the life of Joseph, and see if we can see little pictures of Christ. But in Genesis 37, don't turn there, but in Genesis 37, the Bible says in how Joseph, he is the favored son. In fact, by way of just by outline, he see that Joseph, he was preferred by the father. He was that favored son of Jacob. And we see that Jacob, he had many other sons. But we see that Joseph was that favored son. In fact, he was that son who was given a coat of many colors. Okay, is this bearing witness to y'all? I talk to my students, all right? If you give me some engagement, I know you're listening, all right? So you can go north, south, and say, "Oh yeah, I remember that." Even, well, don't lie, but it, you know, at least humor me, all right? But what I'm saying is that Joseph, he was preferred by the Father. I want to say today, Joseph was preferred by the Father, but I'm glad that Jesus Christ is preferred by God the Father. Jesus Christ is the favored son. We see in Genesis 37, verse 5 through 11, we see that Joseph was a prophet of the Lord. Joseph was given a prophecy that in the last days, in those times, later in his life, that his brethren were going to bow down to him. In fact, in one prophetical portion of Scripture, Joseph even says that his father was going to bow down to him. And we see that come to fruition in the life of Joseph. But I want to say today that Joseph, though he is, there was a time where his family bowed down to him, is that we see that there's going to come a day where the nation of Israel is going to bow down to the Lord Jesus Christ. How God is not done with the nation of Israel. I'm getting ahead of myself. But Jesus was a prophet. Joseph was a prophet. We see thirdly, Joseph, we see the pit that he was thrown in. In Genesis 37, verse 12 through 30, we see that Joseph, he was sent on a mission by his father, Jacob, to go down, all right, now we got to listen, to go down and check on his brethren. All right, y'all just looking at me, all right? Joseph was sent down by the father to go check on his brethren. Oh, come on. Jesus, amen. He was sent down by God the Father to check on his brethren, amen. And the Bible says and how Joseph, as he came to where his brethren were serving, because they were on a mission from the Father, that, or they were out in the field serving. And the Bible says that one of his brothers, I think it was Reuben, said, "Behold, the dreamer cometh." And the Bible says that they devised a plan. See, they hated their brother Joseph. And the Bible says that they came up with a plan to throw Joseph into a pit. And they took his garments, they ripped it, they killed an animal, they dipped it in blood, and they gave it back to the father. And they acted like the son, the favored son, was dead. Joseph, he was thrown in a pit. Why? Because his brethren hated him. Who does that make you think of? Jesus. Over there in John chapter 1, the Bible teaches us that Jesus went unto his own and his what? His own received him not. Jesus was rejected by his brethren, by the Jewish people. But I'm thankful that the Bible didn't stop there, but says, "But to as many as received him, gave them power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." I'm glad that where the Jews rejected Christ, how I'm thankful that Jesus went to the Gentiles. That was always the plan. That was always the will of God, to take Jew and Gentile and to make them one, to make the body of Christ. We see that Joseph was thrown in a pit. And we see Jesus was thrown in a grave. He was nailed to a cross. In Genesis 37, verse 31 through 35, we see Joseph was pictured as dead. Again, they took that bloody garment and they came to Jacob and said, "Look, your favorite son is dead." And I want to say today that Jesus Christ was presented as dead to the nation of Israel. In fact, Jesus literally died on the cross. You say, why do you say that so much? Because there are people out there who teach that Jesus didn't die on the cross. They teach that he swooned. What? That he passed out. No, Jesus literally died on the cross. We see Joseph, he was pictured as dead. But we see also in Genesis 37, verse 36, in chapter 39, verse 1 through 6, he was in Potiphar's house. See, Joseph got out of the pit. I want to say today, Jesus got out of the grave. Amen. See, if Jesus did not get out of the grave, you and I, we are still in our sins. Again, that gospel text where Paul said, "I declare unto you the gospel." Later in that text, he is talking to those to the church of Corinth there, and he's saying that if Christ be not risen, we are still in our sins. How our faith is in vain. But I'm thankful tonight that Christ did raise.
Amen.
He did really die, but he did really raise. Philippians 2 lets us know that how Jesus, he said, verse 5, Paul wrote, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation." And how he humbled himself and was obedient to death, even to the death of the cross. Him hath God highly exalted him, amen, and given him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every tongue shall confess, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess unto the glory of God and of the Father.
Amen.
Jesus was elevated after the cross. We see that Joseph was elevated after the pit. And he was in Potiphar's house. And we see that in Potiphar's life, in Joseph's life, he was presented with temptation. And let me say this. As we look at some of these pictures of Christ, and as we look at these pictures of the gospel, something that we need to make sure that there's a reason. These pictures, they don't always follow the chronological order. Okay? Pictures break down. That's why they're pictures. The person Christ doesn't break down. But what I want to say to us tonight is that Joseph, that he was presented with temptation from Potiphar's wife. And the Bible says that she cast her eyes on Joseph because she saw he was a goodly man. He's probably a handsome man. And the Bible says that she looked at every day that she would come to him and she'd say, "Lie with me, lie with me." And every day he'd say, "No, no, no." Until finally the Bible says that there was no man in the house and Joseph was there working. And Potiphar's wife grabbed his garment and said, "Come lie with me." And Joseph said, "How can I sin and do this great wickedness against my God?" Joseph didn't, and he ran. He left his coat and he ran. The Bible says that Potiphar's wife had that coat and she was embarrassed. That she waited till her husband got home and threw the coat at Potiphar and said, "This Jew that you brought in here, he's mocking us." But the application that I don't want to see is that Jesus Christ was faced with temptation. He was faced with temptation in the wilderness for 40 days. Whether you believe that Jesus was tempted if he was tempted before the 40 days, if you believe that he was tempted for 40 days, or if you believe that he was tempted after the 40 days, all I know is the Bible teaches us that for 40 days, amen, that in that time frame, Jesus faced temptation. He faced temptation of the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and the lust of the flesh. 1 John chapter 2, verse 17 says, "It's all that is in the world is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. The world passeth away and the lust thereof, but whoso doeth the will of the Father abideth forever." Say, what are you saying? Joseph was tempted. Jesus was tempted. Joseph fulfilled. Jesus Christ fulfilled. Again, just as we look through the Word of God, we can see types of Christ. Is this making sense? All right, making sense to two of y'all. All right, the two that I have, keep listening. We see that he was presented with temptation, as we spoke about. He was placed into prison. Genesis 39, verse 20, through chapter 40, even verse 23, Joseph was cast into prison and he was forgotten about. And I want to say Jesus went to prison. He was there before Pilate, and he got cast into prison there, and we see that. We see the palace where Joseph was reinstated. Genesis 41 through 41 verse 1 through 57. We see that Joseph was in prison. He was forgotten of the baker. He was forgotten of by the butler in prison. And the Bible says that after 2 years, that Pharaoh had a dream. Pharaoh had a vision. And Joseph was in prison and he deciphered the dream of the butler and of the baker. But here in this text here in Genesis 41, that late 2 years later, that Pharaoh, he has a dream and the butler remembers Joseph. And the Bible says that Joseph, he is brought out of prison and he shaves his face, he changes his raiment, he goes before Pharaoh and he interprets the dream of Pharaoh. And the whole crux of it is that Joseph, he correctly interpreted the dream and he was elevated to second in the kingdom. Notice this, where when he was reinstated, Joseph was prized with an Egyptian bride. All right, I'm saying all this for a reason. He was prized with an Egyptian bride in verse 45. After he was brought up, he was brought forth a Gentile bride. And I've got another message about that bride. But the emphasis I want to make is Joseph got a Gentile bride. It was the priest of On, the priest of Potiphar, his daughter, On. But her name was Asenath. But the point I want to make is Joseph got a Gentile bride. Jesus got a Gentile bride. Amen. We see that pictured exactly, the church. But also we see, and what I want to get to, is that Joseph was a preserver of life for his brethren. In Genesis 42, verse 1, all the way through chapter 45, verse 15, where we find ourselves tonight. Joseph, during he had a vision, the Pharaoh had a dream, a vision of 7 good years and 7 bad years. And Joseph comes up with a plan, and he ends up saving the world. Joseph, he helped his people endure through a 7-year tribulation. Oh, come on now. There's going to come a day where our heavenly Joseph, he's going to take us out of here before the famine comes. Huh? Call me an escapist if you want. Amen. It's called Jacob's trouble for a reason. Amen. It's for Israel. But God's going to preserve Israel through the tribulation, but we're going to be out of here, praise God. But we see that Joseph was a preserver of his brethren. How his brethren made it through the 7-year tribulation in Egypt and where they were at because of Joseph. And we see that pictured here. I thought this was beautiful. Y'all doing all right tonight? Okay, good. I just want to make sure I'm not boring you. But I thought about this. Joseph reveals himself to his brethren in chapter 45. I thought this is beautiful, and I'll get to what I want to preach on. Joseph reveals himself to his brethren. The Bible says that Jacob sends his brethren up to Egypt. And the Bible says that, to make a long story short and foregoing a whole bunch of stuff, that there's 2 trips. The first trip, they send back. Joseph sends them back with their money, puts their money back in their sacks. They go back to the father. And then the second time, the Bible says, and how Benjamin, he said, I won't see you except you bring the younger brother. And Benjamin comes, and he comes with his brethren. And the Bible says that they sit down and eat meat. They eat supper with Joseph. And Benjamin sits with Joseph, and he receives double than all of his brethren. And the Bible says that Joseph, the whole time his brothers keep talking about how, man, he said, they keep remembering what they did to Joseph, not knowing that Joseph, he was the second in command, how he was the one who was preserving their life. And we see how Joseph, foregoing a whole bunch of stuff, I'm sorry, but the Bible says and how he kicks out all of his servants. And the Bible says that he opens up, he starts to weep to his brethren, and he reveals himself to his brethren. He says, hey, I'm Joseph, your brother. Is our father yet alive? Talking about Jacob. This is beautiful. But what I'm saying is that it shocks Joseph's brethren so much At the end, during that 7-year tribulation, Joseph is revealed to his brethren. Y'all just looking at me. But Jesus, there's come a day where Jesus is going to reveal himself to the nation of Israel. And that nation that nailed Jesus to the cross, how they, if they had believed the writings of Moses, they would have received Jesus Christ. But I'm thankful that God gives Israel another chance to get saved. Amen. And there'll come a day when Jesus comes back at the end of the tribulation. Amen. And they'll look on him who they pierced and they'll say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And a nation shall be saved in a day.
Amen.
Joseph reveals himself to his brethren, and Jesus is going to reveal himself to his brethren. We see that's how I can look in the life of Joseph and I can see Christ. Real quickly, in this text here, the Bible says in verse 25, y'all doing okay? And they went up out of Egypt and came in the land of Canaan, talking about his brethren, unto Jacob their father. Pharaoh gave Joseph permission. He said, go back, get your father, bring him up. And he told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is the governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him, verse 27, all the words of Joseph which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. Now, don't lose me. But the spirit of Jacob their father revived when he heard about a son that was dead, but now is alive. Come on now. I just preached for about 15 minutes how Joseph was a picture of Jesus. And how Jacob heard about the son who he thought was dead in a pit. How he had been devoured by an animal. He still probably had the garments covered in blood. But he said that when he saw the wagons, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived.
Amen.
There's something about hearing about a son. Come on. There's something about the gospel that made Jacob revived. And I want to say tonight, we see in the gospel, according to Joseph, we see a reviving of the spirit. The reason why I've been coming here and I've been preaching about the gospel is this. Is that is what truly brings about revival. We see the first mention. Okay, it's a principle. Some call it a law. A law is it happens every time. It doesn't always happen every time, but a principle of first mention. When you see a word mentioned in the Word of God and you see it, every time you see that word again, it's used. It's most of the time in the same context or in the same way. And we see that here, the first mention of the word revived or revive is used here. And the Bible says that when it was after Jacob heard about a son that was dead but now is alive, that's when the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. The word revive, it means to quicken or to make alive. Notice this. His name was Jacob. In order to have revival, he had to be revived. He had to be made alive, but he allowed his spirit to be affected by the situation he was going through. Please don't lose me. I'm trying to make sense, all right? But what I'm trying to say tonight is that why do we need revival? Because we allow this life to get our eyes off of the sun. Come on now. We allow this life with the things that we go through to get our eyes off of Jesus Christ. But your pastor has a burden and a desire to help you and to point you to Jesus Christ. And so he's having this meeting. Why? So that we can fall back in love with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's what this is about. I'm not up here hollering for my own pleasure. Amen. I'm up here because I want to be a help and encouragement to the church. Why? Because I need revival. Why? Because you need revival. Because we get unfocused. We need help. We need God. He's the only hope for this town. He's the only hope. This is not just something we do to do. This is real. This is eternal. The gospel's real. Jesus is real. He really is. He really does save. He really is coming back. There really is a hell. There really is a heaven.
Amen.
We need to get the main thing, the main thing. We see that Jacob, his spirit revived. The phrase revive or revived is used 14 times in the Bible. And in 13 verses. The first verse that we see of revive is mentioned here. And the last is what I mentioned Sunday night in Romans 14:9. I want to say Jesus Christ is our revival. And we see that throughout the Word of God. Let me ask you tonight. What are you allowing to kill your spirit? What are you allowing to get you unfocused tonight? We see a reviving of the Spirit, firstly. I'm foregoing a whole bunch of verses. Secondly, we see a reminding of salvation. Look at verse 28. Don't lose it. What's those three words? And Israel said. Go back to verse 27. That last comma there, it says, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. Semicolon. And Israel said. Oh, now. The word Jacob means supplanter. The word Israel means prince. What are you saying? There was a time in Jacob's life where he had a run-in with God. Over there in Genesis 32, verse 24 through 32, don't turn there. But Jacob is running for his life. And the Bible says that he gets to Peniel. And he meets a man and he begins to wrestle with him. And the Bible says that that man doesn't prevail against Jacob. And Jacob says, that man that wrestles with him, he says, hey, Jacob, what's your name? Or he said, what's your name? He said, Jacob. And the Bible says that that man said, not no more. You're no longer Jacob, but your name's going to be Israel. The Bible says that that man touched Jacob in the hollow point of his thigh, and he halted upon his thigh all the days of his life. He got a little limp. God touched him and changed his walk. Say, what are you saying? That's a picture of salvation.
Amen.
That man that he wrestled with was God. He was running from God, but God caught up to him. And he wrestled with him. That's a picture of conviction. You remember the time you wrestled with God? Huh? The night I got saved, I wrestled with God. I said, God, but I prayed a prayer. Huh? I prayed a prayer. I thought that saved me. No, salvation's a person, not a prayer. There's going to be some praying involved, but it ain't a prayer. It ain't a process. It's a person. It's repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. And we see that in this text here, Jacob, when God asked him, what's your name? He said, Jacob, means he had to admit, you know what? I've lived a life of lying. I've lived a life of, he said, I lie, I cheat, I steal. Okay, that's a little WWEF there, okay? Some of y'all woke up when I mentioned WWF. But what I'm saying is this. Jacob, after all these years, he was living like Jacob instead of like Israel. Why do we need revival? Because in times in life that we can, if we don't add to our faith, if our spirits are dead and we become unfocused, we can start acting like Jacob again. We can start going back to our life. I didn't say lose the salvation, but I'm talking about going back to a place where we start doing things we know we shouldn't be doing. And we start acting like Jacob instead of Israel. That's making sense? But the Bible says in this text here, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. And when his spirit revived, Israel said. Israel. We see that there is a reminding of salvation. I want to say there's times in life. Like I said, I've mentioned it 10,000 times. I'll mention it 10,000 more times. I got saved April 12, 2009. A Gateway Baptist Church in Bowling Springs, South Carolina. It was my dad's birthday, it was Easter Sunday, and it was a Sunday evening. And God the Holy Ghost tore the blinders off mine eyes and showed me that I was lost. And I repented of my sins and placed my faith in Jesus Christ. But did you know, sorry to burst your bubble tonight, but I've not been perfect since I got saved. I did worse sinning after I got saved because I sinned with knowledge. I sinned and the Holy Spirit would go, not supposed to do that.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit, He'll convict you. Again, I talked about over there in Hebrews 12 Sunday morning. I said that where it says, if you be thou chastiser, you're a bastard, not a son. I didn't cuss. That's a Bible word that just means fatherless. Fatherless. If you don't have conviction in your life, God's not your father. For example, your pastor and pastor's wife has two children. Ain't none else in this place going to take care of them except them. Why? Because that's their daddy and that's their mama. What are you saying? If God's your father, He's going to take care of you. He's going to whoop you just like any good father would. We see that in this text, Jacob needed revival. And when he heard about a son who he thought was dead but now is alive, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived, and Israel said. We can forget. I didn't say lose, but we can forget about our salvation. So what are you saying? I'm not going to read these verses, but go back in your own time. But look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse number 3 all the way through 10. But the verse that I want to go through is, it says in verse 5, it says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these be things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. Here it is. And hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. When you and I, we fail to add to our faith. What's our faith? Saving grace. Saving faith. But after you got saved, or after you get saved, there's still a responsibility to add to your faith. The Holy Spirit will begin to make you more like Jesus Christ. He says that, He says, add to your faith virtue. That's morality. Morality won't send a person to heaven. But one of the things that God wants us to be after you get saved is to be a moral person. To live a clean life. And then it says knowledge. You got to get the Word of God in there. It's not going to get in there by osmosis. And it says knowledge, it says temperance, self-control. Holy Spirit wants you to, He wants to help you control yourself. And then it says temperance, it says patience, endurance. One preacher said this about patience. I am almost done, and I won't be long. Every Baptist preacher's most famous lies. Almost done, and I won't be long. Praise God. Some of y'all smiled for the first time. It says knowledge, temperance, temperance, patience. Patience is the ability to put up with what you want to put down. It's more than just somebody's poking you on the shoulder and you and them not punching them. Patience is the ability to move forward when you want to go backward. Endurance. It says to patience, godliness. Godlikeness. God wants to make you like Himself. And it says brotherly kindness. These are things that we're to add to our faith. I'm lingering here on purpose. Why? Because if we don't add to our faith, we're going to live like Jacob instead of Israel. We're going to live a lying life instead of a higher life. Brotherly kindness. What are you saying? A love for the brethren. When I got saved, before I got saved, I hated church. Okay? I would sit on the church pew and I'd read Goosebumps. Y'all know what Goosebumps are? Praise God, I went to public school. Amen. I know what Goosebumps are. But I would sit there on the pew and I'd look at my mom and say, "Is it over yet?" And she'd say, "Almost." I said, "Praise God. I'm ready for the Chinese we're going to eat after." Huh? I'm just trying to say that before I got saved, I hated church, I hated the Bible, I hated the brethren, I didn't want to be there. But after I got saved, Christ made a difference, and He put a love in my heart for the brethren. How shall man know that you are my disciples? By your love for the brethren. Amen. Why are we having revival? Because your pastor's desire is for this place to abound in love, for the love of God to dwell richly in your hearts, for there to be unity around the doctrine, around love for God and each other. You know what that means? That means you're going to have to spend some time with each other. Woo! It means you're going to have to go out to supper with each other. You have to gather around, use that fellowship hall, and eat some food. Play some games. Have some coffee. Fellowship. Amen. Brotherly kindness. Amen. Adding to our faith. It says a brotherly kindness, charity. It's love in action. Love in action. When you love something, you'll live for something. But if these things aren't in our life and we're not adding them, we can forget. And we can start living like Jacob instead of Israel. Is that making sense? Y'all did pretty good. Good job. Let me read you a couple more verses because I feel like I need to. Over there in 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." What the Word of God is saying here is that if you've been saved by grace, you're going to grow in grace. If there's no growth in your life, you don't have eternal life. I didn't say it. The Bible says it. Take it up with the Word of God. It says, as newborn babes. You know what a newborn babe is? It's that baby that was there Sunday morning. Right? She was holding that baby. It was 7 weeks old, right? 7 weeks. And it cried. What? It cries out. Why? It's hungry. Wants some food. But it says, as newborn babes, the same way that babe cries out for its mother to say, "Hey, I'm hungry." You and I, we are to hunger and thirst after God. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. God wants us to be filled. Amen. But the problem is we're so full that we can't be filled. Say, what he's saying? If you tried to offer me food right now, I couldn't take it. Why? Because again, I said I'm filled of what? Shepherd's pie. Now, I could always fit ice cream in. All right? Can I have a witness? Woo! Some of y'all woke up when I meant said ice cream. But I'm just trying to say, I don't have room for anything else. We don't have room for God because we don't make room for Him. We're not filled with the Spirit because we're full of stuff. And we've not made room for Jesus. I hope this is making sense, but it says, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. If you have been saved by grace, you're going to continue to grow in grace. Amen? And lastly, some of y'all perked up when I said that. Lastly, we see that there's a revival of the Spirit. There's a reminding of salvation. But thirdly, look at verse 28 again. And Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. When we get a revived heart for God and get life in our church and personal walk with God over the gospel and the reminder of what God has done in our life, it should bring about a direction towards more holiness and more to desire to know and see the Son. I want to say this tonight. If you get saved, if you get sold out, you won't have no problem doing anything else. You hear me? If you get saved and you get sold out, say, what do you mean by sold out? That means to give everything you got to God. Say, you give God your plans, you give God your desires, you give God everything you got. And if you'll do that, He'll give you everything that He's got. And He'll be able to do His will in your life, in this church, in your family, for the glory of God. Amen? My desire is to see you give it all to God. Amen. Jesus Christ, He gave it all on the cross of Calvary. We can give it all to Him every day. He's worthy of glory. So when your pastor gets up and preaches something you don't like, because if he's preaching the Word of God, he will. Your flesh don't like being told what to do. But that spiritual man will go, praise God. I may not always like it. I may not be able to live it, but I do like it. Amen. Show me a man who has a problem with what the Word of God says. I'll show you a man who's not surrendered to the God of the Word. I'll say it again. Show me a man who does not like, I can't say it the same way I said it, Pastor. I messed up. I should have wrote it down. Show me a man who don't like what the Word of God says. I'll show you a man who's not surrendered to God. We see that Israel said, I will go and seek Him before I die. Firstly, we see that there's a speech. He said, you know when you know you've got revival? Is when you start speaking up for God. What are you saying? You start getting these little... See, I got some. You start going out in town. Say, now I came down here. You aren't used to that, are you? Praise the Lord. You walk out, somebody, hey, you're talking to somebody and say, hey, by the way, can I give you something from our church? It's not just about coming to church, but it's about coming to Christ. But I want to invite you to my church. Will you come be my honored guest? Huh? You walk up to another person. I got something from my church. Yeah, Chesty's a little far. Walk up, you go through the drive-thru. Yeah. And say, as they hand you, imagine if you're going to Taco Bell. I love Taco. Oh, come on now. Okay, we was friends till just now. You go to Taco Bell. Okay?
We can.
What's your favorite restaurant? You don't know?
I don't know.
Yeah, okay.
Wendy's?
Okay. Okay, you get the Dave's Hot Double.
There you go.
Right? And a Frosty. You can tell I've been there before, all right? And as they open the window and handle you your heavenly manna, you can go, by the way, can I give you something to read? You can be a drive-through evangelist. Praise the Lord. I'm just saying, that's how simple it is. That you fill Sherall with the doctrine of God's Word. That you go out, and that, how do you know you got revival? You start telling people about Jesus. You start going around that. See, I got more, praise God. It's like, hey, now you see it, now you don't, huh? I'm just trying to say to us tonight that we need to get back to being vocal for God.
Amen.
This world likes to stand up and put their blasphemy on TV. They'll parade their homosexuality. Say, I don't like that. God always said it was wrong. Amen. Amen. How they parade their music and how they parade their perversion on TV. But we are to stand up as the church of the living God and to lift up our voice and to, like a trumpet, and show my people, the house of Israel, their sins, and to show my people their transgressions. We're to lift up the Word of God and to be a light. Jacob, he starts saying some things. By the way, you can keep that and pass it out. Praise God. And by the way, I'm not saying this because I don't think you ain't. I'm just encouraging you to continue. Israel said, when's the last time you ever, I know this will shock some people, but the Bible says, let the redeemed Lord say so.
Right.
Amen. When's the last time you said, hold up, Pastor? I know we're about to sing a song, but I got something on my heart. Huh? This is what God's showing me from my Bible reading. Huh? Hey, this is what God answered my prayer this week. By the way, God still answers prayer. Amen. Jennifer was before a service, huh? She was in a little pickle and she asked God to help her. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, somebody came and helped her. Why? Because we serve a God who answers prayer.
Right.
There's a speech he said. Let me tell you tonight. What excites you, you talk about. By the way, when the Eagles got an interception last night, and that boy ran it in for a touchdown, you best believe I was going, "Woo, glory!" Say, I don't know what you're talking about. Go back. You'll watch it on YouTube. If you can, it's good. It'll help you. But you know what? Football ain't never done for me what Jesus has.
That's right.
And I shout louder for Jesus than I do football, I promise you.
Amen.
And it's all in English. And it's all scriptural. Amen. Amen. Say, you want them Baptist-costals. Tell me what you want. Praise God. I love Jesus. I want others to be excited about Him as well. But what I'm saying is, Joseph, Jacob, Israel, he had a redirection toward the Son. He had a speech. Secondly, there's a sufficiency. He said, it is enough. What? What he heard about the Son being dead but now is alive, that was enough for him. You're in a good place when the gospel's enough. See, y'all got that. Thirdly, there's a seeking. He says in verse 28, I will go and see him. I will go and see him. And just the illustration of it, I want to encourage you, is Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. I would encourage you to put Jesus first in your life. What's some ways that we can put Jesus first? Quentin, what's a way we can put Jesus? I'm treating like I do at school. Quentin, what's some ways we can put Jesus first? Just name a way. Prioritize the time. Woo! Glory. Bible says over in Psalm 90 that we spend our years as a tale that is told. What is our life speaking to others? How are we spending our time? Are we in debt? Huh? Or are we redeeming the time? Somebody else over here. Got some teachers over here. What's some ways we can put God first? She said, hold up, me? Amen. What's some ways we can put God first? You don't have to answer, but I'd like you to pray. Amen. Amen. What's some other ways we can put God first in our life? Anybody? Huh? Talk about Him. Praise God.
Read His Word.
Read His Word. Praise God. Share the gospel. Huh? One more. What's another way we can put God first? Praise God. Hebrews 10:25. Forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but so much the more, as you see the day approaching. Say, this ain't in my notes. Yeah, but we're in line. Praise God. I'm just trying to say, if we're going to have a revival, if we're going to know that we had revival, we're going to start putting Jesus first in some things. Let me say this and close. When you're driving, I know y'all never do this, but you get your eyes off the road, and you start, you get them little, if you're on the highway, you get the, and you just kind of get back over. You want to know why most time people wreck? Is they go and overcorrect. If we're not careful, we'll hear a message like this and try to overcorrect our life. And God just wants you to ease back into line. They say it's not, God's not looking for perfection. He's looking for the right direction. Amen. I need to close, but I'm just enjoying preaching, all right? But the last thing, I can't remember the point, but I remember what he said over there in verse 28. He said, I will seek him before I die. There's a soberness. Hebrews 9:27 says, appoint unto man once to die. But after this, the judgment. We all have a death day. I'm sorry. We all have a birthday. Say, I don't have a birthday. Go see the pastor after church. He'll gladly explain it to you. But we all don't know our death day. Let's make our life count for the glory of God. My most favorite statement is the statement of the Moravian Christians. I got to close. May the Lamb that was slain receive the reward of His sufferings. May we live our lives to make what Jesus Christ did on the cross worth it.
Amen.
Say, what do you see in this text? I see the gospel according to Joseph tonight. I hope you do. The Bible says that when Jacob heard about a son who he thought was dead and alive, his spirit revived, and he said, it is enough. And he said, I will go and seek him before I die. Thank God for the gospel tonight. But what about you? Will you seek him? Will you go after him tonight? I'm thankful for the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Sister, you go to the piano. You just start playing when you're ready.